living life as God intended us to live it.
Okay.
I believe that we're living really in one of the most exciting times ever in history. I am just convinced that God is raising up a people that is not satisfied with the status quo church as it has been in the past, as the orderly way of everything, just, you know, way it's happening. I believe that he's raising up a people that are hungry for real intimacy and union with the Godhead, with all, you know. And I feel that there's just a real tangible shift that's been happening. And I think that we're going to be experiencing a lot of things that we really never thought we could on this side of heaven. I believe that God is getting ready to do some mighty things. You know, I know I've quoted this verse several times, but it's where God has me, so. Romans 8 says, the entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure empty futility, resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, an eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom coming to God's children. And I believe that's true. I believe there should be an excitement and anticipation. And I believe that God is doing some wonderful things, but I think that sometimes we get caught up in our own world where we're just doing what we do, and we forget to really stop and notice, you know. And if you watch the news, I would recommend you stop. Because nothing freaks me out, you know, and upsets me more than the news. So I just don't do it. I mean, I just rely on God, you know. And so what are some ways that we can start to live by our true design as God intended us to live? And I think, obviously, the first thing that has to come into play is that we have to know what God has intended for us, right? Right? And I think that finding that out of who he is, who we are, and then I am who I am says I am, right? And so, obviously, we go back to the garden, and Adam had fellowship with God. They had sweet communion. They had face-to-face times. They had intimacy. And then, you know, he also gave him a responsibility. You are here to tend to this garden, this earth. You are to do what needs to be done. And I think a lot of times, for a long time, many Christians have had this escape mentality. I just want to get out of here. I just want Jesus to come back right now. I just want to get out of here. I don't want to be with all this stuff going on. When really, I think God's intention was for us to govern and show forth his love. If he's coming back for a glorious bride, are we seeing all the gloriousness of what God has intended for us? Are we walking in everything that he has for us, right? And so I think that we got some work to do, maybe, if we want that to happen. So 2 Peter 1:3-4, I love this. It says, everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited inside us by his power. For all his ways lavished upon us through this rich experience of knowing him and calling him, he called us by name and he invited us to come and be part of this glorious manifestation of his goodness. As a result of this, he's given us the promises beyond all promises, really, that so that through the power of these promises, we can experience a partnership or partakers in his divine nature. Think about that. What Jesus done is coming here, and Tom read some scripture on that this morning. Jesus just didn't come to die for us. He came to die as us. Jesus didn't raise again from the dead just for us, but as us, we are raised into this newness of life that the Father's designed all along. It's just like nothing surprises God. He knew there was going to be a screw-up. He had another plan. And because his heart is, he's relentless in having a people that will have fellowship with him, that hang out with him, that be with him, that are a reflection of him on this earth. I mean, if he didn't spare his own son, the Bible says, how will he not also give us freely all things, right? He's already really put that inside of us. It's inside of us. So what I think is we just got to wake up to a higher reality. Does that make sense? You know, I always think about The Matrix, the movie The Matrix. There's a higher reality. Now, you could either take the red pill and walk in the higher reality, if anybody's ever seen that movie, or you could take the other pill and just wake up and be the same every day. I choose. I want the higher. I want the higher way that God has called for me. So, first of all, we got to know him, his character, and who we are in that. And everything has been paid and deposited inside of us for everything we need in life and godliness. Number two, we must break away from the old mindset. Start realizing and recognizing just religious thinking from the righteous real. We know that there's really no life in just religion, right? Can I get an amen? Y'all just looking at me today. I mean, you know, but relationship is invigorating. Relationship with the Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, it's invigorating. Religion, not so much. Okay, so, and we got to allow our spirit man to be king over our soulish realm. You know, I long time ago, I had this flashback when we were teaching youth. And I would bring up this big, burly guy, and then I'd bring up this little, scrawny guy, you know. And I said, whatever you feed the most will grow. Whatever you don't feed, you starve. So in this duel, who do you think might win? Right? So what are we feeding? Are we feeding our spirit man on the truth, on the Word of God, and who we are in this relationship that's supposed to be invigorating and exhilarating in God? Are we feeding that, or are we feeding our soulish realm? You know, whatever you feed grows. Whatever you starve dies, pretty much. So it's learning how to allow that spirit man to be the king and everything else submit to it, walking spirit to spirit. And it's really not that hard, because in my opinion it is. I don't want people to think that they have to work towards something. I don't like that. I don't like it's resting in who you already are. Does that make sense? It's a total different mindset. You have the DNA of the Godhead inside of you. So it's just resting in the reality of who you already are, not working harder to do this thing. Romans 2:4 says, do not underestimate God's kindness, the wealth of his benevolence, his resolute refusal to let us go. It's because he continues to hear the echo of his likeness in us. I love that. He continues to hear the echo of his likeness. We are created in his image. Yeah? So he hears that, and he's relentless. He's never going to let us go. He has patient passion. Patient passion to shepherd us into this radical mind shift of who we really are. I mean, this is what the Bible says. This isn't just me. And this mind shift is the word metanoia, which Don did touch on last week, and that's to change one's mind. It also means to rebuild and heal. So obviously, if we start thinking of the way God feels about us, and we start knowing that and have that, that's going to change us and change how we think. But it's going to do more than that. It's going to rebuild and heal. So because there isn't any lack in his presence. He's just amazing that way. And obviously one way we do this is just spend time with him and not trying, but resting in his love for us. So I want you to start challenging anything that comes across your mind that is not what God says you are, that does not remind you of your true identity. Because we're bombarded with negativity, right? And I'm not just talking about, this faith thing, you just gotta. No, I'm talking about resting in reality of what God really says we are. Dwelling in his presence is really the cure-all. You know how someone says there's no cure-all? Really, dwelling in his presence, resting in him, having that communion with him, going, is the cure-all, because it gives us everything that we need. He already says he's done that. So the third thing, which I know Don had mentioned this, last week, and I just really enjoyed all he had to say about this, but the third thing to really walking in the way that God wants to walk in, as we've been intended, is walking in peace and rest. Rest is the seed of governing with God. It's turning inward and listening to that small voice of truth inside. It's that drawing from in. I'm in him, he's in me, and all is well. You don't know how many times I say every day, I'm in him, he's in me, all is well. Learning to rest in that fact. So what do we do when life gets a little hairy? Because obviously things happen, life happens. Turn into that place. I believe that you can have that place even when, no matter what's going on around here. And, in John 14, Jesus was talking, and Jesus made a plan to them, Lazarus is dead. This is, and obviously that would be a sad thing. But for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't here, because now you have another opportunity to see who I am so you can learn to trust in me. He was about to blow their mind. So I really think that anytime there's a crisis in our life and there's things that God can use. I'm not saying God caused it. I'm saying there's things that God can use that situation to reveal a new layer of who he is and how he can bring us through that. And, I've talked about that. I've talked about how when we had some real crisis with our kids, and sometimes it was very painful and hairy, and, I'd be up stewing, couldn't sleep, because, in your mind, Satan's putting all kinds of horrible things, they're laying dead in a ditch or whatever, that imagination was not being used in a godly fashion, And you can get caught in that cycle, and Don, he just had this revelation, man, and he was just like, just roll over and go to sleep, it's going to be okay. We've given him to God. It's going to be fine. But I will say that during that time when we actually had to press into God, because if we didn't, we felt we were going to die. Anybody been in that situation? When we pressed into God, God showed up. We were getting revelation. It was probably some of the greatest revelations we'd had in a long time. It was like, oh my gosh, God would meet with us. There was such a heavy sense of presence and peace in our bedroom at times. It was just like, it was amazing. So, there was, you always hear it think it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Kind of that scenario, because God was revealing something to us that we would build on for a foundation for the rest of our life. That we can trust him, that we know, So every situation is an opportunity to turn toward the Father and learn His heart and learn how to live spirit to spirit. Walking in rest and peace is learning to live in the unseen and governing it in love. You know, 2 Corinthians 14 says, we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but the unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal. So let's focus on that. Focus on the things, you know, and it takes training our mind, but really it's not about working harder. It's what I'm trying to say. I don't know how to get that point across, is that we're training to walk in God's way, but it's not work or labor. It takes some discipline, but in that we find rest and peace through that. And I love this verse through the Passion. Actually, I think Don might have quoted it last week. Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Come unto me, because I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I am gentle, humble, and easy to please. Boy, when I grew up, that's not the God I grew up with. I grew up with a God that's like, you better get it right or you're going to get the wrath of God beside the head, you know. But he is easy to please, and you'll find refreshment and rest in me, is what he's saying. For all I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. Again, it's not about trying harder, about resting in who he is and who we are in that. The fourth thing is, we need to absorb ourselves with what God is showing us during this time and what he's wanting to do. You know, Colossians 1:27 says, living in you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. The mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes our heavenly treasure. And it goes on in Ephesians, says, I pray that the Father of glory would impart to you the riches of his spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray that the light of God will illuminate your eyes of your imagination. Yes, imagination. Flooding you with light and hope of what his calling is. You know, it's like, this is his heart. This is his heart for us. It's for us to learn to rest in peace and move in the awesome things that he has for us. You know, Don just briefly mentioned that we had experience over the 4th that I was kind of apprehensive and he was apprehensive. All these personalities back in our house, some of our kids, you know, and he was just saying, oh man, it's just gonna, he was just worked up about it. And I was a little leery too, you know, but I guess I'm more like there was Mary Martha. I was the one that was always busy. I'll just keep working and not think about it. I'll keep making food. People keep eating it. It'll be fine. You know, that's the kind of thing. But so there was a little bit of a crisis at one point. But what was so cool about that, yeah, we didn't exactly know how to handle it at that point. But when he got alone in his garage, that's his heavenly spot. When he got alone in his garage and started really, God just showed him this whole picture of what he could have done. And then what was so amazing, we got a call from that person. And God, he was able to share that and share that heart of the Father to one of our children. It was really amazing that it's like you didn't screw up and it's just messed up forever. God just keeps giving us chances to learn and grow and respond more like him. It's responding and learning to see what he sees and responding out of that. And, you know, I'm kind of emotionally normally wired, kind of high strung. And so it may be harder for me at times to pull away from the emotion of this situation, go to my thought, and really say, okay, God, what do you say about this? How do you want this to happen? How do you want me to respond? I learned to rest in you. I learned to rest in you. So, learning to absorb ourselves with what God is showing us, dwelling in that scriptures, and dwelling in them and tearing them apart in different versions and whatever God is saying, bringing that out. Sometimes we have read things over and over and over and over once we start seeing the revelation of it, because it like solidifies it in our hearts. And then another thing that we do is if somebody's a forerunner in this that we want to learn, we listen to their podcast, we buy their book, and we, somebody, you know, God gives us the body. Some people are further in certain areas that we need to glean from, right? And so it's just learning how to absorb ourselves with the truth of what God's trying to reveal at this moment, and especially in our life. That's why you can read a scripture all your life, and one day you read it maybe in a different version or whatever, and you're like, oh my God, I love this. It's like this new, booing, revelation moment, right? Number five. Y'all are so quiet today. Man, it's hard up here. Wow. Anyway, ask God to show you how to govern in love the things he has for you. Do you believe we have a scroll that God has written that he wants, of things that he has designed for us to accomplish? I do. And I believe that we can learn how to govern those things, how to walk like a true son and daughter, to recognize the power inside of us because of the Father's work through Jesus. We need to loose our mental, sometimes our whatever we think, and start learning how to trust whatever he says. You ever just have something you're praying along, all of a sudden something just pops in your spirit? You're like, whoa, that, I don't think that was me. You know, it's just opening ourselves to that and learning how to govern that and see change. So, I know in the past, a lot of people have really, when they talk about governing, it's almost become like a spiritual authority, taking dominion, doing this, yelling and screaming and blah, blah, blah. I'm just talking about governing from a seat of rest. And I really believe that you cannot govern over something or a situation or an area or whatever unless you can hold it in your heart and love it. Because love is God's way. So you want to see healing in someone's life that you love, just hold them in your heart and love. And start praying the things that God asks you to pray for them. That they would realize their true identity. That they would be free from whatever, that no weapon formed against them will prosper, but that they'll know the God of love. Love is the key. We can't do anything without love, and when we try, it's less than effective. So it's learning how to govern in love, holding that situation. You know, there's been a couple times because, you know, you see Jesus doing stuff in the Bible, and he says, you know, whatever I did, you can do. And I really believe that's true. And I'm thankful for that inheritance because, you know, I'm from Southern Iowa. Yes, we had some religious thinking. It was pretty strict and all that. But one thing that we had going for us is if Jesus said something in the Bible, my mom was just like, well, then we must be able to do that. So because of that, I seen two people raised from the dead in my church growing up. I seen mighty miracles because we just believe that it's in the Word. God said it. It's true. Just call it that hillbilly simple living. I don't know, but that's what it was, and we just believed it. So for that, I am very grateful. I am grateful for that part of my inheritance that I believe that what God says he means, and what he says we can do, we can do. And if Jesus did it, well, we can probably do it too. So we've seen that Jesus governed the weather, right? Storms come up, all that. So I believe that we can govern the weather. especially in our area or people that we got that we love. Again, it's holding it in your heart and loving it. And I think that all these things and learning how to do some of this stuff is what God is calling us to do. Because in Isaiah, it talks about, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And the kings and people will come to your brightness and want what you got. Now that last part was paraphrased, but that's it, right? And I believe part of that is learning how to govern things and walk in peace and love to that. It's not a prideful thing, it's being humble, but learning how to govern things and do the things that Jesus did. Learning how to govern over riots and hatred and things that Satan is trying to raise up for people or against people. And learning to say, God, I just pray over that situation. I just hold that in my heart, and I just ask that you would cause a love. And then if he tells you to do something, do it, right? So it's learning how to govern, learning how to love people so intensely, you know? I know there's been a couple times where I've been very fortunate where, like, I've seen, felt led to pray for people and seen some pretty good miracles. I mean, not because of me, but because of him. And every time it was because I was, like, Jesus, I was moved with such compassion. I would just be, like, weeping and loving. It just comes out of that love relationship. You know, see what I'm saying? And governing in love. I mean, yeah, there are times when maybe there is an urgency and we say, no, you know, I'm going to be firm here. I'm going to stand against this. I'm going to, Lord, whatever, you know, I know this isn't your will. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying learning how to govern in peace and love. God has so much for us. If he's come, if Jesus came to establish us back to our original design, to the pre-fall situation, I want to walk in everything he has for me. Right? And I think that's what the world is waiting for. You know, I think there's a huge rise on young people that are really interested in spirit things. That's why they go to psychics and other things, because the church isn't giving them maybe power and the love of God and showing them that. You know what I mean? And so, God is awakening people's desire. They just don't know what to do with it yet. You know, I remember like 5 years ago, this guy that we listened to, he was saying 5 or 6 years ago, I don't know. And I just believe people like Russell Brand is just going to come to know Jesus and be a mighty mouthpiece. Well, if any of you know, that has happened with Russell. I mean, he's just, I mean, he got right on the Tonight Show and got on his knees and says, I'm going to show you how to pray. I mean, pretty amazing. And so God is raising up a hunger. He's doing a revival all over of awakening this thing in people. And I want to be able to be there and say, this is what it's all about, right? It's the love of God, experiencing the love of God that will transform your life. It's not boring. It's not a boring journey. Supposed to be full of joy and excitement and just awesomeness. And so many times, you know, we just go through life doing the motions and not experiencing everything that Jesus died to give us. Amen? So let's be determined that we're going to be a people right here, right now, that will follow the blueprint of our original design that God has for us. That we're going to walk in everything he has for us. Amen? All right. That's all I got to say about that. Okay.
They're like clappers today. Clapping all day long. Cool. Yeah, I should probably start taking my iron again. All right. We're going to sing.